is kind of like the public radio lineup of this program with the three of us, so
Yeah. We can talk tools.
who's introducing the show since Gogs is not here?
I
Nate,
can
you
do
can
it.
do the
You want me to
honors.
do
Go
it?
ahead. Go
All
ahead,
right.
buddy.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. This week, we are continuing our tangential slumber party.
Yeah,
And
I like that. I like that a lot.
one half of the regular beef is in the barn, plus an extra quarter, but we're still missing two fifths of the beef. So I don't know what you call that. Is
Joe,
that a
the numbers don't lie, and they spell
they spell
disaster for you,
disaster for you,
podcast
dude.
audience.
It's the King's
He
sampler.
knows he can't beat me. Semi-related, I saw a TNA pay-per-view on Friday, and all I could think about was sacrifice. That's all I could think about the entire time.
Like you saw it live?
Yeah, they wrestled at that little tiny like Baltimore arena, like right near my apartment over at UMBC.
Oh, okay. How was it?
It was fine. The beginning of the show was better than the end, which is weird for a pay-per-view. Like
Yeah.
it kind of fizzled in the middle. Like it was still fun. I mean, it was fun. Free tickets,
I mean, it kind of makes
but
sense. They already got you to pay for the view, so they don't care
yeah. But
if it
it's
falls off.
yeah. I don't know. Like. TNA, not to get off on a completely separate thing too much, but TNA has too many like I respect you matches. Like there wasn't like a lot of heels. Everybody was like, "Hey, you did a good job," and they shook hands at the end. It's like I don't want that. I like
Oh
there's
yeah.
this younger tag team that wrestled the Hardy Boys. They're over there now, and like it was fine. It was a okay match. The Hardys really need to retire, but. The thing is like I want the young upstart tag team to be like these bitches are old, they need to retire. I want to boo them. I don't want them to be like, yeah, they're all right, they're good guys. I'm patching the tour. Like I want fucking hatred. Like I don't
Well,
know.
that's why, that whole where it's always like, oh, they should make it more like real sports. I'm like, that's boring. Like, I
Yeah,
don't care about the
exactly.
like, because it's not, you can't make it more like a sports presentation also like where I know it's not real. You know what I'm
Yeah, and
saying? Like, those two things don't exist together very well.
even the title match was like the guy, remember Moose Sean? He used to be
Yeah.
ROH
Yeah,
for a while.
I stood next to him while he's pissing that one show we went to. He's
That's right. That's right.
enormous.
Yeah, he's a mountain of a man. Well, he was wrestling this guy Trick Williams, who I've never
Yeah.
heard of, but apparently he's been around for a while. And Trick was the heel, but like you wouldn't know it from the crowd because everybody was into him. And again, like he was kind of a heel, but like not to sound too much like fucking Jim Cornette. Like he wrestles too fancy to be a heel. Cause like he's
Yeah.
still trying to be like cool. And like when you gotta be a wrestling bad guy, you kind of have to wrestle like shit. Cause like you want
Yeah.
people to boo you. And like, I don't know. Like again, like I know I sound like fucking Jim Cornette, but like he's got kind of a point, right? Like a good wrestling heel, in my opinion. Is like Seth Rollins, like he's a really, really good wrestler, but like
Yeah.
when he's a bad guy, he wrestles like a little wiener, and it's like that's
Well,
what you
it's like
want.
if Stephen Miller gave a press conference and then dunked over a Kia, I would be like, oh, well, I don't
Right.
like him, but that
Yeah.
was pretty
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it
cool.
was
Too many
fun.
mixed messages.
Shout out to whatever that arena is called. I think it's called like the Chesapeake Energy Arena. That place is fucking great. That place is like. I'd love the AEW runs that building, and like I wish like more wrestling would do it because it's perfect. Like it's pretty big, but it's still small enough not to be annoying. And like the actual like they actually have aisles so you can like walk past people like when you have to get up
Was
to
it
take
that
a
same
leak.
place we saw? Was it Ring of Honor? What did we see where we took Kobe and he like almost died from his vape pen? Was it that place?
It was that place. Yeah, that's
Okay,
right. We
yeah.
went
That place
there.
is
Yeah,
good.
yeah.
Yeah,
That place is
nice.
awesome. It's a
It's a, of
great
the
little
ideal
venue.
dick size. It's
It's
big enough, but
perfect.
it's not
And
so big that it's annoying.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I
Huh.
wouldn't know.
Well, Nate,
Mine's just.
I'm
You've
not
never
saying
had
I know either. I'm just saying I hear tell.
the.
I hear tell
Anyway,
like these ideal dicks.
Nate, you've never had the peculiar fortune of seeing anything at the Baltimore Arena or Royal Farms Arena or whatever the fuck it's called now. But we all saw a wrestling show there one time, and those seats were made for a much smaller working class ass than any of us had. And it was
Dude,
like
and
so fucking uncomfortable.
it,
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
and Sean, were you at the Fully Loaded or what was the
Was
first big
Full Gear.
AEW? Yeah, you were
Yeah.
there. I had to hold on to Alec to like get up the stairs because like my
It was
crippled ass, like
horrendous.
they don't have railings in their aisles. So
Oh.
like I literally like, you know, I you know, I got balance issues, man. Like I need a railing.
That
And
feels like a
there's
code violation.
yeah, and like thank God Alec was there because like I was like, dude, I'm gonna have to hold your bag. He's like, it's cool, man. And like it was it that place sucks. And it's funny because they dumped a whole bunch of money into it. They spent a whole lot of money at the Baltimore Arena, and now they're getting like a lot of shows. Like they Gogs and I went to see Wu-Tang Clan and Run the Jewels there.
Nice.
But like they upgraded the sound. I mean, it does sound great in there, but like the seats are the same. It's still terrible. It's like still a terrible experience to go there. Anyway, we watched The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah, speaking of something that
Hell yeah.
doesn't suck.
No, and I'm gonna bury the lead. I love this movie, and it made me
Same.
hate Sam Raimi because, like, man, he used to be
I'm
so much
gonna
fun.
put it on Front Street. I think, unironically, this is Sam Raimi's best movie. And I do like his other movies
I
before,
mean,
a point.
I mean, I love Evil Dead 2. Like, I
Yeah, and
love Evil
Spider-Man
Dead
2 is
2.
also a good film.
I
Spider-Man
mean, those are
2
all
is,
good.
yeah.
yeah, Spider-Man 2 is great. I actually, you know, it's funny, kind of like the Burton Batman movies. Like, I went through a period where I was like, I don't know, the Spider-Man movies, the first two Spider-Man movies are kind of corny, and I feel like the later movies are better. But I think like there's a charm to those two, first two Spider-Man movies where like it's corny on purpose. Like it's definitely like he knows what he's doing. My biggest problem with the Raimi Spider-Mans, and it's not really that big of an issue, I hate the Green Goblin's costume. He looks so fucking stupid. And like,
Well,
I'm sure
you
both of
saw
you
the
guys, he looks like a
mock-up, and
Power
I was
Ranger.
just,
yeah, well, there, I think I sent it to both of you guys. And for those of you at home, look up Green Goblin test costume. They made this fucking amazing prosthetic mask, and it looks just like a comic book. And I guess like they just couldn't get it to work or to look right in the movie. But man, it looks so fucking great. And it's like, then you pick that stupid Power Ranger suit. Like, and Willem Dafoe is great as the character. Like, I mean, he's, I know that we kind of have split opinions on Far From Home, but I think we'd all agree that Willem Dafoe in that movie is like the best part
Oh,
of the
he's not
movie.
an
Like,
issue, no.
the fucking the Green Goblin mask, like talking to him and shit, that's fucking
I
awesome.
think
And
all the
like,
performances in that movie are pretty good at the very worst. It's just I think the movie itself is a fucking mess.
yeah, I
Yeah,
agree. I
it's a
still
fan
like it.
service movie. It's not a bad movie, but
Yeah.
it is a fan service movie, which is always a problem.
I have an unfair bias, whereas I love Spider-Man so much that like you have to do something to make me hate a Spider-Man movie. See Amazing Spider-Man 2, because I just love Spider-Man. Like I'm currently finally playing through the Spider-Man 2 video game, and I just love Spider-Man. So just like people like shit on that game. They're like, oh, they didn't do enough. I'm like, I don't care. I'm Spider-Man. I'm having a great
Yeah, you
time.
get the button to
As
play.
much as I didn't like Amazing Spider-Man 2, and I still don't, I think James Garfield, is that his name, is like totally
Andrew
charming as
Garfield.
Peter
Andrew
Parker
Garfield.
in the
Yeah.
other movie, Andrew Garfield, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that Amazing Spider-Man 2 isn't Andrew Garfield's fault. It's just like it's got so many other problems.
That
And
accent's got some problems, though.
if you want to listen to our thoughts on it, I'm pretty sure we did an episode on it a
We
couple
did.
of years ago.
What is it going to cost me? A boat?
Yeah.
Also, it's funny because it runs into the same problem that plagued Spider-Man 3, where it's like a too many villains problem. Because like you got Electro, then you try to cram in a Green Goblin for some reason, and
Spider-Man didn't come to my birthday.
yeah,
Damn
that's I mean, yeah. Anyway,
Anyway.
yeah, we watched The Quick and the Dead. Like it's a shame Alec's not here because I know he generally doesn't like Westerns, and I always want to see
Except
what's
Young
gonna
Guns.
break his mold. I feel like he would like this movie.
I don't know how you dislike this movie, to be honest, unless you just like hate Westerns, like
No,
just
yeah,
full
you,
stop. Can't get
yeah,
past it.
we'll talk about, there are very minor things about this movie that could be slightly improved to make it like
Yeah,
an
I
11
agree.
rather than, you know, but, and one of them is just the poster, but I want to talk about that later too, because I
The
feel like
poster's
the way it was
the poster.
marketed was incorrect. The
But poster sucks, by the
yeah,
way.
but I mean,
There's a lot of great fan posters I found online, but
yeah, but this is phenomenal. Like, this was the first two times I'd ever seen this. I never saw it
oh shit.
back when. So I watched
This
this the first time like last week, and then I rewatched it
was a
last
movie I
night.
had great affection for that I was like, maybe this isn't very good when I go back to it.
Oh, me too. I'm such a fucking Sam Raimi nerd. I saw this in the fucking theater, and I was like
Same.
pumped to see this because, like, I mean, I would say that, like, obviously, like, oh, happy, we're recording this on August 18th. Happy Texas Chainsaw Massacre Day to those who celebrate, because
Yay.
this is the day that in 1973, this is the day that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre occurred. But as far as like Toby, for me, back when I got into horror movies and I was like way into horror movies, it was Sam Raimi, Toby Hooper, George Romero, and like, Toby Hooper kind of faded. He still made stuff, but like Sam Raimi was the only guy out of those that was like active. So anytime he
Yeah.
had like a new project, I was like so in. I like couldn't wait, and I was like hoping he would make another horror movie, and he didn't
Drag
until
Me to
God,
Hell's
what,
good.
Drag Me to Hell. I like Drag Me to Hell, but that didn't come out until what, like 2003, I think,
Yeah,
2004.
something like that.
Good movie though. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, it's really good.
Anyway, let's get into the usual business. No Gogs, I don't know why he didn't he doesn't even bother us with an excuse anymore. So he probably had to
He
buy another
respects us too much
house.
to lie to us.
Yeah.
Is
Yeah,
that what
that's
it
it.
is? Sean talks about this all the time, but one time he canceled because he had to like close on his house, and it's like, how did you not know that? Like, that one always gets
Like,
me.
we're talking about he wrote this out until hours before. Like, he didn't know the day before.
Yeah. But I do love Gogs and I miss him. And
Yeah.
he did we will somebody needs to remind me. He briefed us with his review that we'll have to give at the end once we give our five knuckle shuffles. But anyway, Nate, what'd you watch this past week, buddy?
Oh boy, I watched four things.
Good, because I only
Boy.
watched one thing, so.
The number one thing I watched was another Western that fucking rules. I watched There Will Be Blood again.
Oh
It's
my
probably the first
God.
time in like 10 years I'd watched it.
Hot take. Possibly
Is that a
one of,
Western?
yeah, oh yeah, I
I
think
think
so.
so. I mean,
In a way.
it's an iteration on a Western, right? Like,
All
it's
right.
all about man versus God, man versus man kind of stuff. And
I think that There Will Be Blood is one of the best movies ever made. Like,
is that a
full
hot
stop.
take?
I think it could be.
Really?
I don't know. I think
Not
that
that's rude.
movie, I remember, I would have bottled the feeling that I had leaving the theater after seeing that for the first time because I was so like just so blown away by that movie. And like it's a movie I've watched probably a dozen times. Like it always just it's just so fucking good. And I love
I'm
P.T.
sure.
Anderson, but like it's his best film, like bar none.
I'm sure I've mentioned this ad nauseum, but if I hadn't, I still think it's funny. The first time I saw that movie was at Gogs' old house, as the tail end of a double feature with Resident Evil. I think the subtitle was Damnation,
Oh,
maybe
that
computer
CGI movie.
generated. Yeah.
That's
So it
isn't that
was
the one with the negative
the souffle
differential
house.
house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a it, you know, it, and that only made it even better.
Which
Yeah,
one
this
did we
is.
watch? Didn't we watch a CGI Resident Evil movie on the
We
show? I
did. It
feel
was
like
like the best one we saw.
it was incredible. Yeah. Sorry, Nate,
Oh
continue.
no, yeah. Like it's just There Will Be Blood. It's just amazing. Like I hadn't seen it in a few years. I remember loving it the first time I saw it, and then this time I'm just riveted the whole time. Like
Yeah, I think.
everything feels even. And I mean that's part of the rewatch joy of anything. Like the second watch of The Quick and the Dead was similarly like, oh shit, like things just had more gravity.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean I don't know. I don't know how anybody looks at like what Daniel Day-Lewis does in that movie and go like, I also believe I could act because he's fucking like
Yeah.
way better than anybody who's ever
I
done
but
anything.
also
I
like
don't
but
think
Paul
Paul Dano
Dano,
gets enough
well, he's
credit for how good he is in that
yeah,
movie.
no, Paul, he's amazing because both of the versions, the Paul and the Eli version that he plays, are really different, and you only
And
see the Paul version for like 5 minutes, but.
I think I've brought this up on the show before, but it's a movie. It's one of those things like how in Jaws, they had to work around the shark not working. So they fucking, they made it incredible. You know what I mean? Because they originally wanted to show the shark a lot more, but it just didn't work. Paul Dano wasn't supposed to be both of the brothers. There was a whole nother
Interesting.
actor, and he got sick or something like right before filming. So P.T. Anderson's like, we're just going to make him the same character, like make him the same actor. And that alone is so brilliant because it adds this level to the whole movie. Like at first I thought maybe like when I first saw the movie, I thought maybe he was like playing a trick on on Daniel. And I just, oh my God, that movie. I don't know. I like gush over that movie because I just
Also,
think like that movie is fucking pure cinema. Like I, you
it's
know what I mean? Like that pure kino.
one or two for me with best closing lines in a movie I've seen.
Yeah.
Green Room's Who Gives
Oh
a
yeah.
Shit,
Yeah.
and this it's the is it I'm Done or
I'm
it's
finished. I'm
I'm
finished.
finished. Yeah, I'm finished, and then end. I'm like, oh, that's so good. Yeah.
Also, like I just saw on TikTok, there's a creator that I follow who Real Takes is his account if anybody wants to follow him. But like he was talking about like movies that are critiques on capitalism that are like stick out in your mind. And it's funny because when I saw that TikTok, the first movie I thought of was Sorry to Bother You, which is
Yeah.
explicitly about anti-capitalism. But like There Will Be Blood is a great example of that because it just shows you the evils that people will pursue just for,
Yeah.
money. Because that's all. Daniel Plainfield is just about money the whole time. I
Yeah.
mean, my favorite part of that movie is his monologue to his brother. That actor is really good too. He's been in
Yeah.
a ton of stuff. But like that whole thing about where he's like, there's a competition in me and I don't want to see anyone else succeed. And like, it's just, that's so fucking great. And
Yeah, he
that
can't
is.
stand to be around people. Like that whole monologue where he's like, I don't want to be around people. I want to get so rich that I don't have to be around people anymore, which is
It's
wild. Yeah,
so good.
it's a movie that also understands the virtue of like silence in a movie to
Yes.
convey more than having dialogue would, because there are
Yeah.
so many scenes. Like, it's not that it doesn't feel long, but
No,
it is a
it
movie
is
that is
very
this
long too.
pregnant with tense quiet all the time. Like there and the number of times that Daniel is like sitting somewhere drinking and not emoting directly, but you know exactly what's going on in his head. It's fucking great. And yeah,
Well,
I mean,
even
it's the
look like
direction, it's the writing, it's
the
everything.
first like 10 minutes of that movie, there's no dialogue or very, very little, if I
Yeah.
remember correctly. It's like
Yeah, 'cause he's just
very
like
quiet.
he's trying to get silver out of the mine and that whole thing, like just the until the discovery of oil. There it is completely silent. Yeah, it's
Have
just
you
it's
have either one of you
unparalleled
ever
good.
read the Lewis Sinclair book that's like vaguely based on, which I think it's called Oil?
Is
It's
it
not like
Upton
apparently.
Sinclair? It's Upton.
Upton Sinclair,
Yeah.
excuse me, Lewis Sinclair. I don't know who that is. Is it? It but the, I've heard that the book is really nothing like the film. Like, I think it's just more like a
I
theme
mean, because
of. No, I've
Upton
never
Sinclair
read it.
was like a journalist writer, so it probably
Yeah.
would have been more about like the danger of oil fields and less about a specific guy's like
Sure.
egomaniacal
Yeah.
arc to control all things. But I love that it is they are that's the best sort of villain to villain pairing where
Oh, yeah.
neither of them is good. They're both out for their own gains, and Eli's are I mean, I think it's cool when a movie can make you go like, I hate Daniel. He's a bad person, but I am cheering every time he's taking Eli down a peg. And you're not and you feel internally conflicted about all of it. Because like the scene where
Well,
he dresses his son down when he's an adult, you
faster
fucking
in a
hate him.
basket. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like, well, I can't like this guy. But then the end you're like, well, yeah, but kill the guy.
Well,
And good. Make him say that he's a false prophet,
and
because he is. He's been full of shit.
the choice to make him deaf, the one kid is like, I think a very good choice in that movie because like instantly makes him sympathetic.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that final scene between him and Eli is just so brilliant because it calls back to that scene where Eli kind of has the upper hand on Daniel, where he's like, I abandoned my child. Like that like is such like we talk so much on Movie the Podcast about movies that are just written so fucking stupid where they have like direct callbacks and it's like, yeah, I get it. Like it's right in your face. That is like an example of like an incredibly well-written callback. That like you might not realize in the moment, but then you think about it and you're like I don't know. That movie is
Well, it's like
it's
even,
so good.
the fucking the milkshake, like which was memed to death and I was very sick of it at the time. That whole scene, extracted from that line is brilliant. The whole drainage thing, and you could see
Sure.
the fucking realization dawning on fucking Paul Dano as the things being explained to him, what's
Yeah.
actually going on.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Nate, how do you feel about P.T. Anderson in general? Like, you big fan?
I pretty much love
Yeah.
everything that he's
Yeah.
done. Like, I think, because he did Punch Drunk Love, right?
Yeah,
That's
he did that.
the only one that I'm a little more lukewarm on, but I also
Yeah.
haven't watched it again in, God, probably 20 years at this point.
I think, like, 'cause I used to feel the same way, and then I rewatched it, like, recently, and I'm like, oh, like, it's pretty brilliant. Like,
Yeah.
I don't think I, like, really. I mean, I was very, I don't know, it was probably what, 18 when that came out. I don't think I really understood what he was trying to do in that movie, and then I watched it recently and I was like, oh, I get it now. I
I
don't, it's
generally feel like that movie, and I think like P.T. Anderson's style is a style that when I was younger would have kind of made me uncomfortable in a way that made me not enjoy it because I didn't understand the discomfort. And as I
sure.
get older, I'm like, oh, I get it. This is
Yeah.
because people are fucked up, and this is how fucked up people really behave. And it really,
Yeah.
yeah, it's excellent. But yeah, I love all of his stuff.
I'm still like, I mean, I'm gonna go see it, but I'm a little on the fence of his next movie because it's based on a Thomas Pynchon novel again, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I really liked Inherent Vice,
Yeah, I
but
thought
like, I
Inherent
will
Vice
say,
was good. I
yeah,
mean,
it's the if
Pynchon's
you're ranked,
unadaptable. Like, that's the problem. You're like,
yeah.
it's almost like P.T. Anderson is like, okay, look, I've conquered regular movies. I'm gonna
Right
try
now.
adapting books that no one can adapt. Like,
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that, with Inherent Vice, like, if I had to rank all his movies, it's the last one, but I still like it, but it's just like, I don't know if it really works. Like, there's parts of that movie that work, but overall, I'm like, I don't know. And this one, I don't, it looks interesting, but again, as soon as I heard it, it's like, oh, it's based off Pynchon again, I'm like, no. But I mean, I'll watch it. I'll probably enjoy it. I remember Sean and I, we went and saw Phantom Thread, which is a movie that like a lot of people didn't care for, but I was fucking brilliant. I really like that movie a lot. I mean, it's a movie about fashion, and I was like, yeah, I'm into this fucking movie. I mean, it's not really about fashion, it's about like toxic relationships,
yeah,
but
it's about
like I mean,
interpersonal
I know I've
fascism.
mentioned this a couple times, but we saw it. It was like us, it was really early in the morning, and it was like two older couples. And I remember leaving the theater, and TJ turns to me just like with like real concern on his face, and he's like, do you think my Rudolph's okay? Because
Yeah.
it's like
It's
it
like how
felt very personal.
it's like
Yeah.
after I watched the Beau Is Afraid and I was like, man, Mother's Day at Ari Aster's house has got to be real problematic.
I'll tell you, I was a little tepid on Licorice Pizza, not because I don't think it's a really good movie, but more because like this the central conceit's a little ick. You know what I'm
I
saying?
like
Like,
them.
and I
I
know it's a
really like
movie.
them. Yeah. I really like that movie though. I don't know. I get like a lot of the problems that people have with the movie, but I don't know. I think it works. Like, and I hate that band Ham a lot. But the whatever the lead Ham or whatever, I thought she was great in the movie.
And Bradley Cooper steals that movie a little bit with his
Yeah,
I
I don't
can't
know.
remember who he plays.
Is he
He plays
playing what's her face's hairdresser? What's his name?
it's
That
Barbara
film producer.
Streisand's. Yeah.
The guy that was like a
John,
movie producer. Yeah.
fucking giant spider guy. What the fuck is his
Yeah.
name?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that told Kevin Smith he has to make a giant spider in Superman or whatever. That's the guy. I
Yeah.
can't think of his name. But
I'm just
anything
gonna have a
else,
nut.
Nate?
Yes. I also watched Jurassic World Rebirth,
Oh God.
which
Yeah,
like
why? How was that?
as a for a five knuckle shuffle score, it's a four because
Oh,
it's
okay, yeah.
almost like it's memorable enough because there's no plot. Like, the plot is the stupidest thing in the world.
Of
Like,
course.
my Letterboxd review was a secret mission to collect dinosaur blood for medical research goes awry when the crew encounters the one thing they didn't expect, dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Like, the this is this opens like
Is it stupider than the black market dinosaur thing that was in one of the Leather sequels, and then they were going to again use them for why do people keep using this trope? We're going to build a monster and use it as a biological weapon. That shit doesn't work. Like, why
Yeah.
would that ever work?
We're gonna take this uncontrollable thing and but we'll
Right.
control it this time. I mean,
Right.
it basically opens like Predator. It's let's, you know, Scarlett Johansson's like a super secret agent person. She's getting her team together. we go through the whole montage of everybody loves each other, blah blah blah. They're on this high-tech boat. They're gonna take this boat to the one band of islands that where dinosaurs can still live. Like, there's actually a cool premise at the beginning of this, is the idea that like climate change is making it so that dinosaurs can no longer even live in zoos in most of the world, which doesn't
And
make any sense.
this is
But
still in the same timeline as the other
it's
sequels, or is
32
this?
years after Jurassic Park. Like, it is canonically 3 decades
Oh,
after Alan Grant and Ellie Sattler go to Jurassic Park,
because
and
I
it's
think I didn't watch. I admittedly only watched like a little bit of that one where there was like a ninja raptor that Alec watched. I can't remember which one that was. One of the Chris Pratt ones. But in that movie, dinosaurs were everywhere. Dinosaurs are like all over the world. So is that still canonical in this
well,
movie?
that's what's happening, is like the climate is now causing all of the dinosaurs that are everywhere but along the equatorial band to die. So they're basically, hey, like the coolest thing in the whole movie is like a brontosaurus escapes in like Manhattan from a zoo and is like running and just goes and dies under a bridge, and people are like taking pictures with it. But it's kind of sad, but it's also got like a Children of Men vibe, where it would be like, oh, this would be kind of interesting if it was just like, this sort of extinction event. But then, of course, okay, Scarlett Johansson needs to, she usually rescues rich people's kids from ransomers and shit. But this medical guy wants to hire her for a job. He offers her the princely sum of $10 million to go to the most dangerous place in the world, where literally no one has ever come back from, to do a stupid thing that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I
And
mean, ten
she's
million
blown
seems
away.
kind of low. I
That's what
mean,
I thought. Like, 10 million is not enough zeros.
also, it's a fucking movie. Just say 100 million. Like, who
Yeah,
cares?
it
Like,
wouldn't matter. So she gets the team together, and it's very Predator for the beginning, and it's kind of well done. Like, I was sitting on it like, okay, this vibes like an 80s action movie. Team together, everybody's shooting the shit. They got their bits and skits they're doing to try to get more money out of the guy, whatever. And then we cut to, there's like a family, they're sailing across the Atlantic before the daughter goes to college. And they have the dipshit boyfriend who's just stoned and can't even be bothered to like do his shift on the boat. Somehow everybody sails into the waters where there's a bunch of underwater dinosaurs. No one has any clue that these exist, or that they could be dangerous, or that regular boats can't handle it. And that's what kicks the movie off. And then what the movie becomes for the
You
last
think
like
the
2 hours.
world at large would put like fucking breakers or something up that's like, hey,
Yeah.
you're going into like dinosaur infested water. What a weird
Yeah, you would think it
sentence
would be like on the radio or sonar or
to
something, but I don't know enough about boats.
All I can think of is, and I don't know if I shared you that meme, I probably did. It's from The Matrix 2, where it's like, this is the sixth time we've made the worst Jurassic Park sequel, and I
Yes.
assure you, we are very efficient at it.
So they get, everybody gets capsized. They're on the island. They don't have a boat. They don't have a way off. Whatever. Scarlett Johansson decides then that, like, I guess we should just do the mission, because what else are we gonna do? So then they go and get themselves in even more danger for reasons. The movie
Of
has to
course.
happen. And then the movie is just pretty much every 10 minutes there's a dinosaur reveal, and most of them are things where a dinosaur emerges from behind like a grassy knoll or
So
a
what's the
dinosaur-shaped
deal?
rock. Like,
What's the deal with there's a lemon behind that rock. What's the deal with the like H.R. Geiger saurus or whatever
oh
that's in the
yeah.
movie?
Well, so the
'Cause
cold open of the movie is there's yet a seventh island or whatever where InGen was doing secret shit. So they created this, like, it's called a Dominus Rex. It has a Brainiac head, and then it has six arms, and it's really big. And you see it a couple times. It's stupid. It's the most pointless whatever. But the movie's like just loaded with silly jokes and stuff. And the only reason why I would give it a 4 over a 5 is that there is a point where a tiny little plant-eating dinosaur that's roughly the size of one of my dogs, or really a household cat for that matter, who the little girl names Dolores, keeps following them around. There's a pet dinosaur in this movie,
I mean, I'm
and
into that.
it's
Or,
really cute. Like, it works for me, because the rest of the movie is just like you watch a couple of brontosauruses like make out for a few minutes while the
hell
original
yeah.
Jurassic Park theme swells and
Did
everybody's like, oh.
Sean have a pass at this script? It's like we need the dinosaurs to fuck.
That's literally, that is
I
literally
gotta
a
be
scene, and everybody has to sit on the majesty of it.
I gotta be
Yeah.
honest with you guys, because the movie has to happen is one of my favorite chestnuts from this show of
Hey,
all time.
can I interject something real quick? Of all the properties that have been resurrected from like long dead past, why have we not gotten Dino Riders back? We need dinosaurs with people on them with like missiles and machine guns on the side. That shit would be awesome.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Does anybody remember Dino
Oh,
Riders
totally,
besides
yeah.
me?
I'm pretty sure I had a couple of those. That
But in
shit
my
was
head, I
cool.
always get it like tangled up with dino saucers, which wasn't really about dinosaurs and flying saucers. They were just aliens for some reason.
But Dino was in. It was a
Yeah.
winning prefix.
Wasn't there a cartoon called like Dinosaurs and Cadillacs or something? Isn't that a thing? Am
Well,
I?
there was an arcade game called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs that I think they
That's
might have
it.
spun a cartoon off
Yeah,
of, but
there was a
it was
cartoon for a
Konami
little
beat
bit.
them up.
It
Yeah.
was a comic, or it was a
I
comic
want to
book
say it was a
too.
Malibu property, like
Yes, yes.
Exhumans or whatever.
That's right.
But
But
yeah,
the Sega game that fucking ruined your life. And you're like, oh, an X-Men game. And it's like the X-Mute. They're like, they're not even mutants anymore. That sucks.
they're ex-mutants. They're
They're
like they're
former men.
mutants that went
They're
they're
conversion
mutants.
therapy.
They went to convergent therapy.
But yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. It's cromulent enough. You could watch
It's a
it.
I was
You're not
killed.
going to be upset watching it. It's just
Are
like the movie wants you to
these?
care about the people and you don't. The movie is
Yeah.
literally using actors and plot to get you from one dinosaur set piece to the next. And that's cool with me because it almost makes it
Yeah.
an interesting horror movie that way.
Right. Are
But
they
by
still making like shitloads of money? Like, are the return
They
like at
did
what point
well.
did
That one
it?
did well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
I
know.
haven't.
I don't know what the full box office was, but I know. I mean, they did a smart thing because they put that out like before the summer, and I want to say it did pretty well. Like
Yeah, it
you
got
know,
pretty well reviewed too, for that matter. Like, it has a higher score than I would give it.
which is fucking
But
wild.
here's
What
my
the hell?
theory on Jurassic franchise. Okay, I think that we've reached the point where the Jurassic franchise is actually a protracted metaphor of the United States foreign policy in the Middle East, because we
Please
fucked it
continue.
up in the first place,
Yeah.
and we can't stop going back for reasons that become less and less plausible, and that's all that's happening. It's like, oh, we have to go back to the place where the giant dinosaurs kill us all the time and this never works out to get a resource. Let's go. And then everybody dies again. It's
Right.
wild to me.
That's
What
a
do you mean?
brilliant take. I like that.
There's another island? Like, how many
Hey,
islands do we got?
well, that's the like when the cold open is like introducing a new island title, you're like, oh fuck, really? And this one's
Yeah.
even more technologically advanced than the previous ones because it's basically like a full space station on an island where they have all the dinosaurs isolated, and it's something else.
What's
But you
crazy
know.
to me is that with Jurassic Park, it's not as bad as the Alien
Alien.
franchise because at least there's three good Alien movies. But like, there is one good Jurassic Park movie. That's it. Like even like Jurassic Park 2 sucked, and then they kept making. Then they made 3, and that was terrible. And then for some reason, I mean money, because remember Jurassic Park? Then they started bringing out the Chris Pratt, what's her name, Big Dumper,
Where they had to
BDH.
Photoshop her ass out.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas
Yeah.
Howard, and
Yeah.
we all love. I mean, BDH is a Mulholl legend. We all love
Yeah.
her, but those movies were trash. And it's just like, what are you doing? Like, stop. Just make something else with dinosaurs. Oh wait, they did with that Adam Driver movie that like tanked. But like, I don't know. There's got to be something else to make out there.
Yeah.
Make Dino Riders. Make. Here you go. Here you go. Here. Listen, Hollywood. I know you listen. Turok the Dinosaur Hunter, dude. Turok
There you
the
go.
Dinosaur Hunter, the movie. That'd be cool as shit.
Or Primal Rage, the movie.
Dude, Primal Rage, the movie.
You know The
Hell
Rock's
yeah.
gonna end up in that, though.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. But anything else, Mr. Nate?
I also watched Freakier Friday. My wife and I
Why?
went to
Wow, you
movie
went to the
theater for that.
cinema. You
It
went
was
to
a
the
date
cinema
movie.
to see that.
That movie's a solid 5 because I'm not gonna think about it
There's
ever
gonna be
again. Like
Jamie Lee Curtis and
it's
Fat Naturals.
well. Here's the thing. The best part of the movie is that Chad Michael Murray is, I guess he was like Lindsay Lohan's love interest in the first one, but he kind of
Okay.
like started
Oh,
crushing on Jamie Lee Curtis when they
you said
switched
Chad
bodies.
Michael Murray, and I swear I just thought you said Chad Michael Vincent. I'm like, I think he's
Yeah.
dead. I
Time to
didn't
Dan Michael, you're Vincent's.
know. Yeah.
But the
Fucking.
through line in Freakier Friday is that like he's still into J into JLC. Like he'd still hit that. So I think
Oh,
they
I
need to
like
make
it.
a third movie where he and Mark Harmon switch bodies, and he just doesn't want to switch back because he's just fucking Jamie Lee Curtis. Like he's
I'm
getting
into
what he
that.
wants, and that's a
Yeah.
movie. That's a movie that I think would be
That's.
an
I mean,
interesting escalation.
that truly is the freakier Friday, you
Yeah,
know?
we gotta get
Like
freaky.
I remember, I think they rolled that preview before Ballerina when I went with Nate. It's just like, are we so bereft as a culture that this, like, there's a lot of bad sequels and a lot of bad reboots, right? But it's like, who was asking for this? Like, what?
And the thing is,
Jurassic
it's
Park, I get.
yeah, I think the thing about this is it's just it very much feels like a focus group slash corporate slash AI written, hey, we can make money on this kind of movie. Because every I don't know. I don't even think I've seen the first one, but I felt like, oh, all the
Yeah, I've
beats are
never seen.
exactly the same, because
But
it's just instead of two people switching bodies, four people switch bodies.
isn't Freaky Friday a remake? The original is a remake too, isn't it? I feel like it is. Maybe I'm wrong.
Is it a like cold remake of Vice Versa?
I
Like,
don't know.
yeah,
Maybe
pretty
I'm wrong.
much. I
Maybe
mean, it's
I'm
this it's yeah, it's a little bit big. It's a little bit vice versa. It's like, oh, you gotta understand, you gotta walk in my shoes to understand me,
Oh
blah, blah,
God, how have they
blah.
not remade Big yet? God, they're gonna do that, aren't they? That's gonna happen. Talk about a movie that I've never watched since I was a kid, but I love that movie as a kid. I
Who
thought that
wants to play
movie
with a
was
building?
that movie was great.
Last thing I watched was a rewatch. I watched The Prestige again because I
Oh,
hadn't seen
great,
that in a
brilliant.
while.
Great
And
movie.
yeah, I think it's great. I mean, because it's just
It's
about
his
like
best movie.
people destroying each other's lives and the lengths they'll go to do that. I think that's phenomenal. It's very human. The female characters aren't written very well, but that's a Christopher
Yeah,
Nolan special, so who
he doesn't
cares?
do very good at writing female characters.
On top of that, Scarlett Johansson is like abysmal in that movie, and I think she's got a niche. That ain't it. You know what I mean? Like she's just not. It,
It's
maybe
I,
it's just like, go
the
ahead.
accent's not working for
I will go and write. I've been on record on the show many, many times as a Scarlett Johansson apologist, but she is very bad in that movie. But I still love the movie. I think
Oh yeah, I think
it's
it's his
my
best
favorite.
movie.
It's my
Here,
favorite Nolan
here's my only
movie.
question. Maybe you guys can answer this for me because I really like this movie. I still can't understand why, when you have spoilers for The Prestige, anyone who's listening, when you have twins, and one of the twins is in love with one woman, and one is in love with the other. Why can't you figure out how to make it so that the person who is in love with the woman who has the kid doesn't like abuse her emotionally to the extent that she commits suicide?
True.
Like, it
Yeah,
seems
it's
like I get that you got to keep a secret for the trick,
because
but you have
the
makeup.
movie has to happen.
Yeah, the movie has to
Yeah,
happen.
that's pretty much
But
what
it's
it
just,
is.
yeah,
Yeah.
because it's just harsh on Rebecca Hall to do that to her, I feel like. It's like, come on.
I forgot that was Rebecca Hall. Holy shit. That's right. Yeah. Also, a great David Bowie performance in that
Yes.
movie
Yeah.
as
Yeah. The
Tesla,
whole Tesla
which.
thing is so cool. And like, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just great. I mean,
And
don't.
as for a guy that has a career of like really good performances, that's also the best Hugh Jackman performance, I think. Like he's really good in that fucking movie. I mean, and obviously Christian Bale is great, but he's always great.
It just makes you think of what we could have had with David Bowie in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He was supposed to be what? He was supposed to be Jared Leto's character? I could see that.
Yeah, he's supposed
Yeah.
to be Wallace.
Oh, that would have been perfect. Damn. And you would have gotten the stink of Jared Leto off that movie, but I don't care. I still Blade Runner 2049 is still a fucking masterpiece. I love that fucking movie.
Hell yeah.
There you go, Hollywood. Make more cyberpunk movies.
We
People like
do.
cyberpunk. Come on, make a fucking real Neuromancer movie. Give it to what's his name? Give it to my boy, the Mandy guy. What's his name? Panthos Cosmos or whatever the fuck you say his name. Give him fucking Neuromancer. That shit would be sick. No, even better. Brandon Cronenberg's Neuromancer. That shit would
Cool.
be wild. He would be
Yeah.
killing
I'm in.
You know what sucks? You guys may or may not know this, but are you guys familiar with the he mostly made music videos, Chris Cunningham? Do you know who that is? He made like
No.
the you ever seen the Come to Daddy Aphex Twin video?
Yeah.
Oh,
It's like
yeah.
super weird. He made this other one called like it's called like Sackhead Johnny. It's like the super fucking weird. Like all his videos are super weird. He wanted to make a Neuromancer movie, but whoever had the rights to it at the time said that he wasn't like proven enough. He had never made a feature film, so they'd be like they were gonna make it, but then they wouldn't sign him to do it. And it's like, come on, man, that would have been fucking cool as shit.
Like, who
Like,
else is gonna make that movie anyway? Like, just
I don't
let
know.
somebody make it.
It's one of those things where it's like, I love the book so much that like any movie is gonna be disappointing to me unless you get the right people. And like, it's gonna happen. Like, I'm shocked it hasn't happened already, but like,
I
give it
thought, well, it's been in development for since the book came out for I don't know how many different fucking.
million years, yeah.
But you know they're gonna fucking like you have to hard set it in the time that it took place and like not modernize it at all. And I don't know
No,
if they can resist
no.
the temptation.
It doesn't work if you modernize it. You have to make it in that weird sort of 80s future. Like, yeah, but maybe one day. I don't know. You got to give it to somebody cool, though. You can't give it to like fucking Mick G or something. I don't know. Anything else, Nate?
No, that's it. I'm gonna throw it to you, TJ.
I watched one thing. I don't know why I keep doing this to myself, but I watched, well, I'll tell you why with this one. So I've heard a lot of things about this movie called Hell House LLC, and
I'm
I
good,
heard it
dude.
was a found footage movie, but then I read it's not a found footage movie, it's like a fake mockumentary. So like I can bite in on the found footage if it's in like a fake documentary. Like there's a movie that I really fucking love called Lake Mungo, which is, if anybody's ever hasn't seen it, watch it. Because like Lake Mungo is shot like a Netflix documentary about something that never really happened, and it's super fucking creepy, but like it's never too much. And they don't ever, like, I think the movie is exceptional because it never does that thing where it seems fake. Like everything seems plausible, like if you're watching a real documentary, right? Like even they do show like footage that they retrieve from the girl's cell phone, but even that seems like there's no editing. It
None
seems
of the
very,
breaches
very
that you had a problem with,
it
Late
it
Night with the
seems
Devil.
yeah, I hate that kind of shit. I hate stuff that like it takes me out of the movie. Like if you're gonna make a found footage, if you're going to make a mockumentary, stick to the goal. You got to make it real. You got to make me believe it. Like I will always say, like I dislike found footage movies in general, but like I will always defend Blair Witch Project because I think that movie was absolutely brilliant. I think the marketing around it was brilliant. I think the fact that like people were mad back in 1999 that it wasn't real. You know what I mean? People got upset because they're like, oh, this is fake. Like, I think that movie's fucking brilliant because everything that happens in that movie is in camera. There's no like weird music or editing or anything. It's just what you get in the camera. And honestly, for like a lot of people, they're like, the movie's boring, but I think it's brilliant because that's what you're experiencing, what the characters are experiencing. Like, I think it's brilliant. Anyway, this Hell House LLC, it starts out promising and it gets away with a lot of the cheating for the found footage stuff, because again, you're watching it in the guise of a documentary, right? The problem is the movie, it cheats too much because, like, conveniently, a character that you find out hasn't been seen in years. So the premise of the movie is that these people put together one of those like haunted houses, you know, like there's like around Halloween time, they'll like rent out like an old mansion or whatever, and then they'll put like a bunch of evil clowns in it and shit and scare you. So they rent out one of these houses, and then there's like a tragedy that you don't know what happened. You just know that like a bunch of people died, and this is like a documentary about what happened. And the movie cheats right away because like a person that was involved showed up unannounced, and then she like literally hands the film crew like a pile of tapes. So like really, it's only half a mockumentary, and then most of it's found footage.
Yeah, it's like, but they really didn't
And
find the footage, did they? They were given it.
no, and the problem is like it's not terrible. I'm not gonna say it's bad. I think like it does a good job building tension. It's just like it's kind of nothing. It's kind of like a nothing movie, and I don't really understand what people loved about it so much. Like apparently there is three more films after this that I won't be watching. But like I don't know. It's like it starts out promising, but just it screws up the landing because it's like it becomes too silly and too unbelievable. And again, I know it's about like supernatural shit, but like, you know, the main girl that shows up that's like narrating basically. And again, remember, this is supposed to be like a documentary. Like that she's like, why don't you break back into the house? And the film crew's like, yeah, we'll do that. And it's like, well, why didn't you do that before? And then, like, you know, it's like, it's so, it's like corny. And like, at a certain point, I was like, well, I thought I was watching like a documentary. Like, this is something that someone filmed and then put on TV or Netflix or whatever. But then, like, you're basically like at the end of the movie, you're almost at like live footage that they're on. And it's like, what the fuck is this? And they don't ever break it up and tell you that. And it's like, I don't know. It's just another miss. Like another, like I know that like found footage is great for people that want to make a movie with no money. I mean, like a great example of a movie that was made because the people wanted to make a movie but had no money is Man Bites Dog, which I think is brilliant. And that also kind of uses like a found footage kind of method. But that movie has a lot to say and it's interesting. And I think it's cool when you use your, I mean, I talked about this earlier with Jaws and with There Will Be Blood. It's cool when you use your limitations to push forward a story. It's another thing to be like, well, we just want to make a scary movie, and we know that like most horror fans are idiots, and they'll just be like, well, it was creepy, and it's like they don't actually think about what they're watching.
I mean, it's kind of like Series 7. It's like we're shooting a TV movie
Oh,
with
they're
TV
brilliant.
cameras. So what do we do? Well, let's make it a TV show. And like it masks like the shitty cameras and the sets and all that stuff because it looks like a TV show of that era.
And it's also like Series 7 is a shining example of like, I mean, again, that's not really like a found footage movie. It's like a TV show, but like that movie never breaks. That movie is like the TV show, like with the editing and the song choices. And like that movie is perfect. It's so good. It is a fucking crime that that movie is basically lost to time. Because like we talk about it, but like if you want to watch Series 7, unless you have a password to my Plex, it's next to impossible to find. But I think that movie, like that movie, I've pleaded with Vinegar Syndrome and all the other boutique Blu-ray houses, re-release that movie because that movie is so fucking good. But a movie that's not so fucking good is Hell House LLC. Also, I assume that it's called Hell House LLC because there's probably some other B movie that's called Hell House. But like, I don't know. Hell House LLC sounds really stupid. It's
I
like
mean, it
they
shows that
wouldn't have
they
been
were
haunted.
legally responsible, I guess.
They
They
wouldn't have
covered
been
their
haunted
asses.
if they weren't incorporated, right? Is that what LLC means? Yeah, like I don't know. Like there's not, again, this movie isn't terrible.
Liabilities are limited, but the chills aren't.
This movie is not, it's not terrible, but it's also like it's also kind of, to me, it kind of shows like a lot of the problems I have with horror movies that like a lot of horror fans like freak out about. Like it's just there. Like it's nothing you haven't seen before. And I feel like, and I've talked about this over and over and over again as a huge horror fan, there is certain fans of horror movies that like they just like horror movies. And it doesn't matter what kind of slop is put in front of them. They're just like, well, I like it because it was scary. And it's like, okay. Like I can't respond to that because it's just like, yeah, but what about the like filmmaking? It wasn't great. Like, what about the fact that like this is the same fucking idea we've seen 8,000 times? Like, and there's nothing new to this film. It's boring. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like interesting in the filmmaking, in the presentation. Like, again, not that it's hasn't been done before, but if they really stuck with it, like Lake Mungo, then you got something. Because I implore everyone to go watch Lake Mungo and tell me you're not like, when you turn that movie off, you're not like freaked out. And again, there's no like jump scares, there's no blood. You're just sitting there because you're like rethinking things that happened in that movie, and you're like, that's fucking terrifying. And just slight spoilers for Lake Mungo, it's about a person that like learns they're gonna die and then like does die, and then it's like kind of reevaluating their life, and then there's like signs the whole time. It's fucking crazy. And again, it's supernatural, but it makes you think, you know what I mean? And again, the presentation is so good. And that movie also is, I thought the acting in that movie was great. Come to find out that like all the actors in that movie were amateurs, and I'm like, wow, like it comes off so natural. Like to make a very odd parallel, we watched Over the Top months ago, like the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie. And my favorite part of that movie was the weird interviews they did because it felt so natural and real. And like these are terrible actors, but there's something about it when you can break through and make a terrible actor convincing. Like you got me. Like I don't know. And this movie never did that. So I would not recommend Hell House LLC. Sean.
Hey, I only watched one thing. I watched that series on Netflix, The Hunting Wives
Oh,
with
what is
Malin
that?
Ackerman. It's fine. I mean,
Malin Ackerman, Silk Spectre?
herself.
She's still around?
I mean, she looks great. She's hot. Like,
She
I've
was hot
never been
as
a
Silk
problem.
Spectre. Yeah,
She
no,
was.
not
Got that big squared jaw on a woman that I like.
I know you're a big fan.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's kind of like, a send up of like rich Southern women, but it's exactly what you expect. But there's a halfway decent murder mystery. It's like, it's cromulent. It's, I wouldn't say go out of your way to watch it, but if you want to crush seven episodes of something, Malin Ackerman's naked a lot, so that's a plus.
I'm a
Hey,
big fan.
Yeah,
is it
but I
like
mean,
Stepford Wivesy or is it
no, it's more
less?
dramatic. It's
Oh, okay.
yeah, it's yeah, one's the pastor's wife and one's the fucking, Dermot Mulroney or whichever one he is running for governor, and he's a shithead, and everybody's fucking everybody. It's like, it's okay, like it's
All right.
fine. Yeah,
I'm
but that's
yelling.
all I watched.
All right, well then let's get into the quick and the dead. Nate, you have the honors since you're the honorary Gogs. What happened in the quick and the
Oh
dead?
boy.
This is a pretty
Well,
easy movie for a synopsis, honestly, because it's pretty fat. Like it's pretty. I will say one thing that I absolutely adored about this movie wastes no time. Like it's like you are there, and Tobin Bell shows up, and you're like Tobin Bell. It's so weird to see him
they
right
came to
away.
kill everybody for smoking.
Dude, and
You didn't value your life.
right away too, it's full of like Sam Raimi used to be so fun with his camera
All the
angles
fucking
and like
Dutch angles and
I loved
push-ins
it.
and
Yeah.
shit.
And it's like right away, like it's doing crazy stuff. And he does stuff later, like where you see like holes through people's heads, and I'm like, dude, it's so
Well,
great.
I
Like
think the
he
thing that's
oh that
interesting. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That scene with Keith David getting his like brain pan blown out has been
Oh, I
stuck
loved it.
in my head rent-free for years,
Yeah.
to the point where I hadn't seen it in a while. I'm like, is that a deleted scene? Because he gets shot and then it happens, afterwards.
Your gunfighter is dead.
Well, it's funny because I know he's like a big comic guy, and I wonder, like, my comic book brain, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Frank Miller, Jeff Darrow comic, Hard Boiled,
Yeah, hard
but
boiled.
there is a cover that Jeff Darrow did where it's literally the POV from like the back of a blown out head, and it looks so similar to that. I wonder if that was like an homage to that.
Nice. So yeah, this movie opens with the lady. That's her name. She doesn't get a name
That's
in the
her name.
movie.
Yes.
She's rolling
No, she
into the
does have a
town
name.
of Redemption.
Her name is Ellen because the doctor later
Oh,
yells her
that's
name.
right. That's right.
Oh shit. Yeah. So Ellen slash the lady rolls
The
into
lady's perfect, though. The
the town
lady
of
is a perfect
Redemption,
name.
which was great. I mean, we have the cold open with Tobin Bell. He's got some sort of he's digging for gold or something. He's staking a claim. She comes over and hassles him. We don't really know why. And I guess I'm not sure
Yeah,
still
no.
why they had
I thought
beef,
just
but
because it's cool, it's a
yeah,
fun cold open.
we needed to show
Well,
she's a badass and
it's a
he's a
throwback to
shithead.
spaghetti westerns. Like that, I mean, that's what he's doing, right? So it has like kind of a weird cold open that's like sort of irrelevant to the plot. I mean, I think Once Upon a Time in the West opens with like a 45-minute like train ride that really has like very little to do with the rest of the movie other than kind of establishing the scenery.
Yeah. So she messes with this guy, she ties him up, steals his stuff, steals his horse, cruises off, goes to Redemption. We get a great scene of like she's walking into town, Redemption is on multiple different slats, each letter feels like a title card for the movie. It's really cool and it's very smart because it tells you everything you need to know about her right from the start. She's there for redemption, right? W redemption is here. What form will it take? It's the very, on Front
Yeah,
Street
it's not,
text-wise.
it's one of those things where it's not subtle, but it's brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be.
Well, and it
This
is.
movie is like beautiful in its simplicity. Like, the structure of this movie is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it is, and it is like it isn't simple in that you don't know everything about her until the end of the movie. And so when you go back and rewatch the movie, the whole opening sequence, like the opening 20
Sure.
minutes, is way better because
Yeah,
it ends
that's
up,
true,
you
yeah.
end up going like, oh, this has all been like a sort of rather than for, well, it's all foreshadowing, but it's like backshadowing in a way because it's about
Right.
things that you didn't know already happened. So yeah, so she's rolling into Redemption. And it just so happens to be the day that they're starting the gunfighting tournament, and a bunch of other interesting personalities have showed up too, and each one of them is very well defined, both in
Yeah.
costuming and in
And
their behaviors.
this town is shaped by violence. Everyone is like on edge. Everyone is like at the bar fighting each other. Like it's not like this town, like every all the like bystanders in this town just look have this look on their face like something's about to happen all the
Like
time. Like,
violence is the main industry of the town.
yeah, exactly.
And you get the other kind of spaghetti Western callback is like right when she rolls into town, the first person she talks to who says it's gonna be a great day is the guy who's making coffins. And it's like, yeah, okay, that this is the business here.
Doesn't he? I could maybe I'm getting this scene mixed up
Like
with
he
another
gets her
scene, but
measurements.
yeah, doesn't he like she goes past him and he's like 5'7" or something. He's like, I'm never wrong, and then he's like chipping out the coffin. Like I thought that
Yeah.
was pretty cool. That was a lot of fun.
So everybody gets together at the local saloon, basically. We kind of get a sense of who everybody is. There's a guy named Herod who runs the show. He lives in a very nice house at the end of the road compared to literally
Also,
everything else around.
the king who took John the Baptist's head.
Yes.
Yeah,
Who I mean, Court is a clear representative of John the Baptist there too. So there everybody's hanging out. They're introducing each other to each other. It's all very quick. We get Leonardo DiCaprio, our bridge from Romeo plus Juliet, who is the kid who's hanging
he's
out
and
sipping a beer.
he's excellent in
Fantastic.
this. He's so fucking like it like I
I
mean,
mean,
think
you
we all
believe
said it.
him.
We all said it analog, like on the text thread, but like the cast in this movie is fantastic. But like you have a very young Leo, you have like a kind of unestablished Russell Crowe, and obviously like Gene Hackman is like the big name in this movie. But like all the performances are really good, but Leo like shines. Like he's so good in this role. Like I was blown away by how good he was in this movie because he's just like he is so charismatic the entire time. Like I thought he was fantastic. And I feel like I don't know, I feel like in a lesser actor would make that character kind of annoying. Like I could see, you know what I mean? Like I feel like the
Well,
way he's written.
it's very intentional because he's like I wouldn't say he's wise beyond his years because he is a kid, he's brash, but he's like heavy beyond his years. You know what I mean? Like being who his father is and kind of like he's like what 16 and he owns the armory,
One
like the gun
store.
store.
Yeah,
And like
I
I don't know, man. Like I love the old Western trope of the lady, the kid, the preacher. You know what I mean? I know Court is his name, but they're all archetypes, you know, but it's perfect.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the cool thing about like Leo's performance, he has an incredible amount of like swagger to start. Like the moment he walks over to Sharon Stone and starts hitting on her, it's like it's a solid opening. Like he is fully a movie star in this movie where it's like, oh yeah, no, this kid has the chops. Like he doesn't
Also,
feel like he's lost.
like Sharon Stone, I think is really good. We'll get into Gogs' opinion of it later. I think she's good in this role, but like the one of the first things that happens is she goes to the saloon and she's like, "I need a room." And the fucking I can't remember that actor's name, but he's in like all the Tim Burton movies, and he's in a ton of shit. And he's like, "Whores are to the other house or something." And she like kicks the stool out from under him, and it's like fucking awesome. Like right away, it's just like I don't know.
I kind
I'm
of
gonna
get
just.
God's critique, but I think the issue is this: that part is written as like you know harmonica in Once Upon a Time in the West, or like you know anybody from the Dollars trilogy. And because she's pretty and a woman, like it seems incongruent, but I don't think she's bad in the role at all.
No, I think
My only
she's kind of
issue
good.
with her is I think she's too old for the
I could
part.
see that.
Like
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I
little
could
that
see.
was the only problem I had. I was like, well, how much time has passed since Gary Sinise, like since that whole thing? If Gene Hackman appears to be have aged maybe 10 years,
Right.
He's definitely in her mid-30s in this movie. So it
Yeah,
becomes a
I.
question of like, well, how old is, but
She should be like slightly older than Leonardo DiCaprio. Like
that's kind of
she,
my read. It's like she should be
yeah,
in
I
her
agree.
early 20s, early to mid-20s, not
Also,
mid-30s. But
her being younger would kind of help because like I think something this movie does well is like you know that she's capable. Like you know, because again, like she shoots Tobin Bell in the beginning, or she ties him up, and then she's like kind of like you know she's cocksure for lack of a better term, and she kicks the chair out, and she like can hold her own, but like the movie plays with her being like how competent she is and like how much of a gunfighter she is, and I think her being younger would help because she seems almost like grizzled, and I feel like if her being 10 years younger would kind of help that kind of dynamic a little better.
yeah, I think the thing for me is like Sharon Stone always invokes like Basic Instinct vibes for me, where it's
Yeah,
like, oh
of
no,
course.
she's in the fucking driver's seat.
Well,
Like she knows what she's doing. She's got it over on everybody.
I don't want to alarm you guys, but she was like 25 when they made this movie, or 26.
Really?
So she's like
Wow.
27 maybe when it came out, or
Oh,
26
wow.
depending on yeah.
Okay.
So
I
I
thought she was
think
older.
she has a very like mature, this sounds gross, but like she's a
No,
very
I know what you're
mature
talking about.
looking 26-year-old woman. She looks like a woman. She doesn't look like a girl. You know what
Yeah,
I mean?
no.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
It's that
also
strong jaw.
yeah, from the opening credits, she was a co-producer on this movie, so she probably helped get this made also, so.
Oh, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, and that's like such a minor quibble, because after the first time I watched it, I was like, eh, I didn't really like that. Second time I watched it, I was like, no, all this works. Everything works. It's
Don't
like, it's
worry, Nate.
just.
I have two quibbles with the movie, and they're both so stupid. Like you'll laugh.
Yeah, my only real quibble is with the poster. And the poster is like a traditional Western poster, including the font that they use. And this is not a traditional Western. This is ultimately
No,
like, this is like
it's a
comic book
neo
video
spaghetti
game
western.
Western. Like, the vibe is it's just got its own energy. And the poster doesn't adequately prepare you for the way that Gene Hackman dies at the end, which is so fucking cool.
Oh,
It
the
rocks.
poster should be Japanese. It should be like a Sugiyaki Rough and Django
Yes.
poster. Can I do my
Absolutely.
two quibbles real quick so
Do
you
it.
feel better? There's a scene where Sharon Stone asks the blind merchant, "What kind of ink do you have?" And then later in the movie, he has to produce the ink, which I hate. The second one, it's so stupid. When he's like, "What is your particular problem with me?" And she has to throw the badge. The throw is so goofy looking, and he's so far away that like it's a terrible throw. And like I don't know, it kind of like deflates it for me for like half a second.
Yeah, I feel that. Like, there's, I, yeah. I mean, we could break this movie down into tiny pieces and find things that aren't great. Like, but I don't know. This, like, I think this just grows in affinity as you watch it. 'Cause I don't
Sorry,
know.
Samuel Basayo got a double already tonight. Like that kid's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, they just
Sorry.
called him up this morning, right?
No, yesterday, and
Oh,
he got an RBI single yesterday, a two-run
okay.
RBI single yesterday, a double tonight. So that kid's gonna be really good.
Hell yeah. The future is bright. So yeah, everybody's in town for this gunfight tournament. We start seeing we're getting introduced to everybody, some of them in very quick passing, others with a little more depth, but just
Shout out to
enough
Lance
that, you know.
Henriksen in this
Yes.
movie, by the way.
Dude, Lance Hendrickson is so good in this movie. Like, I love
Yeah.
his character. And like I don't know, like I love his like shitty mustache. Like, that's a weird thing to love, but like he's great in everything, but he's really good in this. And I love like we talked about the opening scene in the bar, but just the quick introduction to all the characters. Like, you got the guy that like just got out of jail with his fucking literal like jailbird outfit. You have Tobin Bell. Well, he doesn't show up till a little bit later. But then you got Lance Hendrickson. He's like, I killed every man. I have a loaded deck. Every time I kill a man, I have an ace. And he what do you call it? He like what's that word?
Fans it.
I'm like, he
Yeah, fans
fans
the
out the
cards out.
cards and he's got like seven aces. I'm like, dude, come on. It's so like in a lesser movie, it's cheesy, but it's so cool in this. Like everything is just like, hell yeah. This is a
Well,
very hell yeah kind of movie.
hell yeah. This is, you know, it's also kind of got the alien thing we always talk about. Like there's a brief introduction to everybody, but you know exactly where everybody's coming from, all you need to know, and then the movie gets on with what it's doing.
Yeah, it's like they you get introduced to all the characters, and then they're like, okay, there's a gun tournament. Who wants in on the gun tournament? And like everybody has care, like even the like the Swedish guy who's like, I'm the best shoot in Sweden, like that guy is fucking great, and he's in it for like 2 seconds, but like that is more character development than we get in like 80% of the crappy movies we watch on this show.
And then they have an Air Bud conversation about whether or not the lady can be in the fucking
Nothing in the
gunfight.
rule book. Hackman's all for it. So and Gene Hackman shows up. He's
Dude,
Herod. He's the bad guy in town. He's the
Gene
heavy.
Hackman in this fucking movie is so good. Oh my God, is he good?
He could have been in this and Unforgiven and in no other movies, and he'd still be top 50 actors of all time.
Yeah, he is so good in this fucking movie. Like every time he's on screen, you're just like, I don't want him to leave. Like he's such a good villain in this movie. Like I this is gonna be like the Chris Farley show. Like I love this fucking movie.
And we'll get to it, but when Keith David gets his takes his first slug, and Gene Hackman has the speech about where all the money came from, it's so fucking good.
Yeah, and Keith David's fucking amazing in this too. Like he's not in it that much, but he's fucking awesome because he's just like he's like you know, killing's my game, and like again, he's introduced in the opening scene. And what the fuck is going on outside? Sorry. It's I anyway, continue, Nate. I'm sorry. We'll talk.
No, yeah. So we get introduced to all these gunfighters. Then Herod shows up. He finds out that the kid is in the tournament and decides to throw his name in too. You kind of only get that in a look. And then
Well, at this
he.
point, too, we don't know the kid and him are father and son. We don't know that at this point.
But he then has Russell Crowe dragged in, who is this guy named Court, who I guess used to ride with him when Gene Hackman was a bandit himself. And he's basically just got a fucking bug up his butt about making this guy admit that he is not a godly person, but he's actually a murderer and he loves it because,
Well, yeah, because Court is introduced. I want to say he's introduced before you even know his name as the preacher. Like he's just preacher, and he
And
is.
you know what? In a shittier movie, there would have been midway through the movie, there would have been a 12-minute flashback scene with Court and Gene Hackman and getting his entire backstory, blah blah blah, and they dispose of his entire backstory in what, like a minute and a half conversation he has with Sharon Stone, basically.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's
Also,
perfect. And
talking about brilliant foreshadowing, the way that Sharon Stone saves him with like shooting the fucking hat,
yeah,
like
shooting the
the
rope on the noose.
shooting the rope on the noose, that's how, you know, that's what killed her father. That's like brilliant, fucking brilliant.
No, I think that's the thing that's so exciting about rewatching this movie is when you have figured out what happened, you see just how directly that was redemption to start. Which does make it interesting. I mean, it makes more sense because now, as the gunfighting sort of starts out, a lot of the minor characters are just getting offed pretty easily. Like, this is the way that we whittle the numbers down to get to the people we want to see fight. But
Yeah,
you're getting kind
I'm
of
sorry.
a sense of like where Sharon Stone's, where the lady's head is at, because she's feeling squeamish about fighting. She keeps sort of trying to figure out ways to get alone with Gene Hackman to try to kill him and keeps losing her nerve to do that. And then you're
Well,
getting these little shreds of flashback of what
oh,
happened the day that
and
all of this began.
they also
Real
establish right away, which I think
quick.
is, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say Pat Hingle, who was Commissioner Gordon in the Batman movies. That's the
Oh, that guy.
bartender you're thinking of.
Yeah, nice.
No, I also like quickly they establish pretty fast, like during the first gunfight, I think, that you don't have to kill the other guy because like the Swedish guy just gets shot and then they're like, okay, it's over. So like I like that little bit where like because I assume, you know, gunfight, like the if the guy's not dead, it's not over. But like no, they establish that you can like give up because I feel like that like plays a role later where like they go out of their way to kill the guy, you know what I mean? To like,
Well, you get to raise the stakes. You know how you raise the stakes in a gun tournament. One thing I appreciate about this movie, and I'm sorry to keep cutting everybody off, but I love this movie so much, is they never lose track of the bracket, which in like tournament movies, see Mortal Kombat or whatever the fuck, like you don't know who's fighting who, and then you're just kind of, you know, piddly-dicking around till the finals. But like you stay on top of this bracket the whole time. And I know that sounds really stupid and simple, but I
No,
think
it
it's a really
not
good
at
concept.
all. No,
No,
I totally
it
agree
keeps
with
the
you. Like,
structure and it's part of the stakes, right? Like without the bracket there, it could just devolve into like, well, how is she going to get him? And it's like,
also
no,
like
she's got to get him through this through this
well
instrument.
also I and I feel like a lot of movies, like to Sean's point, like a movie like, you know, Bloodsport, for example, there's just like so many nameless characters that are just in the like the tournament's just happening. Whereas this movie, they establish enough characters where you understand how things are going. You know what I mean? Like it stays with it the entire time. I don't know. Again, a brilliant idea. Because I think, again, in a lesser movie, you introduce like 30 gunfighters and then you just have like montages of like gunfighters dying, and it's like, well, who gives a shit? So
Yeah.
now like every gunfight means something because they established all the characters that in the fighting. So like anytime one happens, you're like, oh, this is pretty interesting. Like when Lance Henderson gets it, I'm like, oh shit. And there's an example too where he, you know, shoots him in the hands and he's not dead, but then he goes out of his way to fucking end him. You know what I mean? He
And
didn't have to.
that's so great too, because you know, he's going on about all these people he killed in this famous like gunfight and blah blah blah, and he draws Gene Hackman in the tournament, and he's like, "I know you're full of shit because I'm the one that actually killed these motherfuckers and blah blah." You know, it's so
Yeah.
good,
Yeah.
everything's
So
so
fun.
good. Spotted horse cannot be killed by bullets.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
how
And shows
awesome is
all of
that?
his bullet, all of his bullet holes in
Also,
his body.
fucking Spotted Horse has that great moment. Like, again, thanks Sam Raimi and the horror shit, but like Spotted Horse is dead, but then his hand comes up and you're like, oh shit, is he not dead? Like, is he a fucking zombie
He
now?
can't be
That
killed by
shit's all.
bullets. Like,
Yeah,
he told you.
that shit was awesome. Like, sorry, continue, Nate.
Yeah,
We'll
I
get
mean,
through this movie
so we do.
eventually,
We
4 hours
start going
from
through
now.
some of these gunfights, and there is one montage in the movie that is like a time passing. Sharon Stone's head is sort of there, and it's
Yeah.
superimposing these gunfights happening as she's watching it. But we eventually get to basically Herod's forcing the preacher to fight, and they go to the gun shop, which is owned by the kid, and he buys him the shittiest possible gun for like $5 that's rusty and whatever. And
I
then,
love DiCaprio though, where he's here. He's like, "Hey, this thing shoots straight. I wouldn't sell it to you if it didn't."
yeah, I
Like
love
the
that. Yeah.
kid has that like honor. He's because you know he's like me and Jesse James think this is the best handgun in the world. Like he doesn't, even though he's heavy, like he doesn't. He approaches everything like a kid. Like he doesn't get the gravity of what he's doing, or
Yeah,
he
right.
chooses to ignore it. You know what I mean? It's all
Yeah.
bravado.
Yeah, which is why, which, yeah, it's why he's so lovable, because he is like, he's so evidently kind of playing the part of the heel when he's not.
Like
Like,
he has full belief that he cannot be beaten. Like I don't
yeah.
think, you know, there's any thought in his mind that he will lose.
No,
Yeah, I
I
agree.
agree, because, and I think that's the most interesting sort of whatever secondary conflict in the movie, is that Gene Hackman keeps beating people and nobody cheers for him because they all don't like him. And every time his son kills somebody, everybody like hoots and hollers and loves him. And you're
Yeah,
dealing with that father vicariousness shit.
we might have passed it already, but there's a part in the movie where they talk about Gene Hackman's character to Sharon Stone, and he's like, well, he gets all the money, and she's like, what do you get? And they're like, we get to like survive
Oh,
or
yeah.
whatever. And it's like, again, like I love that whole thing. And I to go back to the Gene Hackman kid thing, like I think like there's an interesting dynamic between Gene Hackman and his son, because Gene Hackman knows that he's not going to lose. Like Gene Hackman knows that like if he has to draw on his son, like he's going to win. And I think like that's interesting in and of itself, because he keeps telling him like get out, like bow out. You made your point, like bow out. And he's such a piece of shit, and he also is like he has his own kind of twisted code. Like he's not going to like it's not like you're going to let your girlfriend beat you in Street Fighter Alpha, you know? Like he's going to kill, like if he has to shoot his son, he's gonna kill
Yeah.
him because that's the only way he knows how to be.
But it does, like, it humanizes him just enough, that little bit where he's like, you made your
Yeah.
point,
Yeah.
get out. And that's what makes how he kind of deals with that later even more like heart-wrenching.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, so as the fights start to unroll, both the kid and the lady and Court win their first duels. And then in the second round, we have a meeting where Gene Hackman meets with Keith David to talk, because Gene Hackman's like, "Who hired you to come here? Like, who hired you to kill me? I thought it was Ace Hanlon, but it wasn't. So what's the deal?" And Keith David kind of gives up the ghost on, well, he doesn't say who, but he just says, like, yeah, somebody hired me, but it's this is business, blah, blah, blah. It's all bravado. He's got his great mustache and his really ornate pipe, and he's just sitting there.
Fantastic
He's so
mustache.
detached where he's like, what, do we have business? Like, he's still up until the moment, like, yeah, I mean, I'll listen to an offer. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And then Gene Hackman's like, tomorrow I'm going to make an example of you, and then leaves.
And then tomorrow comes, and he does. So Gene Hackman then declares, like, "Hey, you know what? We're gonna this is gonna be a kill people fight now. The whole tournament, you gotta kill the person." And Keith David has the great line of, like, "Well, I was planning on killing you anyway," which I love that.
That fucking rules.
It's so good, and it's I mean, and then that just makes it even more sad when obviously he's not gonna be able to do it. So he gets a shot off, but doesn't hit anything. He gets shot in the belly. He gets shot in the arm.
And
And he
then
gets shot
blown
right
through
through the
the
head.
head,
Yeah.
we were
Which is
talking about earlier.
one of our great Sam Raimi moments.
Well, it's
Which
also,
it.
this is where Hackman's like, you know, oh, all I hear is you people crying poor, how you don't have any money, but somehow you came up with all this money to hire a professional killer. So it looks like I'm just going to have to take more of that money off of you.
Yeah. And I wanna just jump to the sort of connection between this and Romeo and Juliet from a shot selection standpoint too, because there are some similarities between Baz Luhrmann's wacky, like, camera pushes and stuff and some of the stuff Raimi does. It's just Raimi's versions aren't as nauseating or kind of they don't feel as, like, alien to the scene. And I just think that's interesting. So I was like, well, yeah, there's kind of a frenetic thing happening here either way. It's just
Yeah, but it works a lot better for me. I don't know, like it, because again, like I feel like he interjects these things that like just make the scene more exciting, whereas like a lot of the editing choices in Romeo and Juliet just felt jarring to me and kind of felt like incongruent to what I was seeing on screen. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
The way he does that Dutch angle to the clock, and like, I do love how the structure of every gunfight on film is almost identical, where it's always like a minute before the clock strikes, you start it. But the way it's shot, like at an upward angle, makes it look like it's like 300 feet tall. Like, it's like impending doom, you know what I mean? And I think that translates really well in that shot.
I mean, the sequence where Russell Crowe has his first gunfight and everything goes really slow and the beer is slowly pouring into the glass and all these things, and, like, you it feels like suddenly the movie is doing a different thing, but it really works because it is, like, where you would be. Like, everything has to slow down in that moment for you to be prepared for what's about to happen to you. And I love the little the beat of, like, listen to the clock. It clicked, you know, you're gonna hear a click before. Because then it really makes you as a viewer listen to the
Yeah,
clock
you
too. And
listening
it's
for it,
there
yeah.
the whole time. It's not like that's not just a piece of dialogue that's passed off and then we're scoring over the clock. Like, you hear
Yeah.
that click and you know, like, oh, that's when you gotta pull the gun. And you know.
And a lesser movie would have a gigantic gong, which they managed to restrain themselves from doing.
It's very
Also,
natural.
shout out to the extras and the look of dread on all their faces when they realize that Keith David has been, you know, demeated in the head, and it's like, oh, we're fucked. What?
Absolutely.
So yeah, then Court fight Spotted Horse. We talked about that a little bit, and that's like a three shot, two or three shot kill, one to the head, again. And then the lady ends up fighting the gross saloon owner guy that's been hitting on the underage girl that has been the only person who's been, like, directly nice to the lady, other than, I guess, other than Russell Crowe, without wanting anything. Which I one of the most genuinely tender little moments in the movie is when the girl is like, "You can do it," and, like, and Sharon Stone, like, breaks for a second. Like, you see her, like, the toughness break, and she, like, touches her on the shoulder, and it's like, yeah, cool. That was for real. And that's a very, like, Raimi Spider-Man-y sort of, like, the very
Absolutely.
sincere. We're getting more flashback here. So we're seeing the day the lady is getting chased out of town. We see Gene Hackman's spurs as they come out of the marshal's office, and you see them dragging Gary Sinise out and putting a noose on him and things like that. We find out that it's Ellen McKenzie and that her father was the marshal there. And then she gets invited to dinner by Herod.
Yeah, this is a weird scene.
I kind of like this scene. Like, it's
I liked
lesser
it.
in Inglorious Bastards, but like, the tension's really good. Like, I think
Yeah,
she does a
it's
good
well
job in this.
done.
Yeah, because she has a little gun that's sort of tied to a piece of lace under her dress, because she gets real gussied up to go to this dinner.
We know, you all have derringers. Sorry, Simpsons reference.
And yeah, there's real tension, because it kind of drops, and then there's a whole thing, and then she's drawing, and there's a moment of silence when she draws the hammer back, and you kind of all hear the click and everything stops. But then Gene Hackman keeps going, and we think, like, okay, maybe there's a chance. She can't do it. And then she hears a click of from his end of the table, and then that diffuses the whole thing. She tries to run away. We find
Yeah,
out
because
Gene Hackman's onto her. Well, there's
he's
also
so
a
gross. Where she's like, "Oh, I want the money," and he's like, "Well, I could give you more money." And she said, "Well, I wouldn't feel like I'd earned it." And he looks at her and takes a beat and goes, I think you would." Like, or I forget exactly how that
Well,
line.
there's like a through line, like I was saying earlier, about her, like how capable she is as a gunfighter. And Gene Hackman's like, "You've never killed anybody. Like, you don't have it in you." Like, this has been a it's a trope in a lot of movies. Like, a killer is a killer, and if you've never killed anybody, you can't do it. So it's again, it's ramping up the tension where you're like, "Well, is she going to be able to do it when she has to?" Because she had the drop on Hackman. She could have gotten it, but she, like, she pussied out.
Yeah, twice. That's the second in that dinner scene. It's the second time that she could have reasonably and easily shot him at close range. But yeah, she doesn't. We find out that Gene Hackman's clicking a lighter or a match. It's actually a matchbox, but he's clicking a metal matchbox that sounds like a hammer being pulled back. So he knows what she's up to also. But he still doesn't know why. So we get a little more flashback, and then the next day she runs up to challenge him. She wants to challenge him in the tournament, but finds out that the kid's already challenged him. And so now we have this moment of like, okay, cool. Leo's not gonna make it through this, because that's not the kind of movie this is. And this scene is really well done, I think. I mean,
Oh, it's fantastic.
it like the movie suddenly becomes e like. We have watched a bunch of people die gruesomely, and it has felt not unserious, but it has felt like almost light in a way. Like these are just consequences of the tournament that you're at, and this is the first time that you're really like, oh shit.
This is where, like, even though he's gonna die, the stakes are still effectively raised, because if they could have done this earlier in the movie and he could have shot him and he survived and blah blah blah. But, like, like, he is marching to his death. Like, you are aware as the audience member, and like, it's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. And you get the he says the whole thing that, the gunfight is in the mind, not in the hands. All these things, like he's spouting all this ideology, and you can tell he's trying to talk himself into it a little bit too, which I think is really effective acting. 'Cause there is this through line that we haven't really covered, but like in his previous gunfights, he like when he beats the Swede, he like goes over to Gene Hackman kind of proudly, hoping for praise while the entire town is praising him. And Gene Hackman's like, yeah, if the Swede was any slower, blah blah blah. Like he just completely undermines any of the kid's success. And Leo's face drops effectively, like a disappointed child. Like, I just want daddy's approval once, and he's never gonna give it to me.
Relatable.
Yeah, so they have their gunfight. And I mean, it's cool, because they pretty much
He
they do
almost gets
almost
him.
draw at the same time, and he trumps Hackman across the neck, doesn't quite hit him, but gets enough that there's theatrical blood there, and he gets shot in the belly, and then we have like a really just heartbreaking scene,
Where
especially
he.
just the moment of him like reaching up for his father, which again like also calls back to the scene in the gun shop, where Gene Hackman forces him to put his hand on the table, and he's like, "You've got farmer's hands; those aren't gunfighter's hands." And he's reaching out with those hands again, and his father won't
Absolutely.
take them, and just immediately is like, "He wasn't even my kid."
The part that line where Gene Hackman, like, he you can tell, like, he's having some kind of emotion, but he disowns him in that moment just so he can go on with the fact that he just shot his son to death. Like, is so heavy and so good. And, like, in a movie that's not, like, I wouldn't say this is, like, high drama. It's a spaghetti western, right? Like, there's such, like, great dramatic beats in this movie. Like, it's hard to really verbalize how good this fucking script is, but it's very good.
Yeah, when Leo says he doesn't want to die, it is so
That was
effectively
tough.
done, because it's not melodramatic. It just feels really authentic and sad. It's like, oh shit, like he didn't, like you said, Sean, he didn't think about the fact that he wasn't, that it was possible he wasn't going to win. He was like, I'm just gonna do this. I'm good at this. What could go wrong? And then it's like, oh shit, you had a whole life ahead of you and like a cute redhead and whatever else, and now it's gone. It's all gone.
God, Sharon Stone's delivery of "You were so fast" is so like fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, especially because when she says "we're so fast," that's the moment that he's like, "Oh, I'm dead."
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's really good writing. It's just really good writing too. So then Ellen and Court are forced to face off, and here's where we start getting a little switcheroo-y. So Court shoots her in the shoulder. The kindly guy that shovels the sidewalk outside the McAllister's house tells her that tells everybody that she's dead, and we think that she is. We kind of skip the I think we skipped the part where she tries to leave town, didn't we? That happens earlier.
That guy was also, have they already, I think they revealed at this point that that guy was the town doctor that actually like delivered her too.
Yeah, that's what he
He
says
knows who she
in that
is.
sequence. He's like, "Yeah, I know who you are because I brought you into this world." And he convinces her to go back and actually finish it because they need a hero, and she could be that hero. So we think that Ellen is dead. Court demands to fight Herod, and they end up setting it for dawn the next day. And then somebody comes in to sabotage the preacher's hand by smashing Russell Crowe's right hand so that he can't gunfight as well.
And I do love where this goes, where
Yeah.
he brings him out to the fight with Herod, and Herod's like, "Why the fuck did you do that?" Like he as shitty as he is, he doesn't want to beat Russell Crowe if it's not fair.
Yeah, his ego like rules over everything, no
Yeah,
matter what. Like obviously
I
to his
love that.
detriment. But that where
Yeah.
he's like, "You got 20 seconds to get out of town. You got 15," and then you kind of forget about it as he's monologuing to
Yeah,
court.
and
And
they
then he's like,
shoot
"Time's
him.
up."
Turns around. Yeah, people do not get down that street fast in this movie because twice they get
No.
shot in the back and they barely got anywhere. So they're gonna have a fight. But hey, it turns out, Leo and Sharon Stone sleep together after drinking a bunch one night, or at least it's implied that they shared a bed. I don't know.
That's like right in the beginning.
That's
Yeah,
right in the
that's like
beginning, but she
yeah.
discovers that she's like, "Your bed's really hard," and he's like, "Well, people would steal it if I don't sleep on it." And she lifts the sheets up, and you get a brief glimpse that there's just a shitload of dynamite underneath the kid's
Yeah.
bed.
Yeah.
And that dynamite comes into play here because Court and Herod are about to gunfight, and then literally half the town explodes.
Yeah, I
Seems like a bad
one of the
George
things that I
decision.
thought that was funny about this movie was, like, spoiler alerts, Herod gets killed at the end, so they save the town, but like she blew up the entire town. Like, thank you for saving us, but the whole town
Yeah.
is like smoldering in the ground now. Thank
It's
you.
like fucking Transformers 3 Chicago. Like,
Right.
it's donezo.
Yeah, so everything blows up. It creates this huge distraction. She emerges, very, very classic Western sort of thing, smoke and flames, and she comes walking in. She's fine. "What do you mean you're okay? I thought you were dead, da da da."
You're dead.
So then they face off, and that's when the soft toss happens, and we get the end of the flashback, which is just, it's heartbreaking because it's like,
Oh, yeah.
okay. Gene Hackman had used the same method of hanging on Gary Sinise, who was Sharon Stone's dad, as he tried to use on Russell Crowe, where you put him in the noose and on a chair, and then he sits back and he shoots the legs of the chair until the chair falls. He's doing that to Gary Sinise and decides to give to be sporting because of his ego and because he wants to just be that guy. He gives young Sharon Stone, young Ellen, the gun and tells her that she has three shots. If he can shoot the rope and shoot her dad down, her dad gets to live. He'll play fair. Now, I don't believe, I mean, ultimately, we can't believe that that would actually work. Like,
No, yeah.
if she did shoot him
But
down,
maybe.
but maybe
Maybe.
so. Maybe Gene Hackman is that principled in his own disgusting sort of evil ego thing. So Gary Sinise is like, "Hey, baby, you can do it, da da da." And this little girl is just holding this revolver with shaking hands, and she aims up and she fires and puts it right through Gary Sinise's head. Um,
Yeah.
and
Insane scene. So
yeah,
good.
and
Like,
just that,
so well done.
like my heart and stomach dropped when that happened. So I was like, oh fuck, like this, like I don't know a movie that does this now where it's like the kid killed
This
her
is like a
dad by
scene
mistake.
out of the fucking Proposition. Like, this isn't
Yeah,
like
this is.
a major summer blockbuster
Yeah.
fucking movie scene.
It's like a come and see moment.
Yeah, for real.
I kind of want Gene Hackman, when he sees the marshal badge, to be pick it up or whatever and be like, "You know how many marshals I've killed? Like, this doesn't mean anything to
Yeah.
me."
I kind of thought that was coming, honestly. I thought he
Yeah.
was going to have an M. Bison moment where it's
Yeah.
like,
It was
yeah,
a
it was just a
Tuesday.
Tuesday for me. Yeah.
But yeah, so now we realize, and this is such the cool thing because now we've shadowed back to the fact that she did the whole reason she had to save Russell Crowe in the first place was because everything was exactly the way it went down with her dad. So
Right.
we understand the first part of the movie better in these last moments. They have their gunfight. She draws, she gets him. And it's the meat and potatoes 45 that Leo shows off, I think, because there's
Yeah.
just a light emitting bullet hole through Gene Hackman, which is
I
such a
love
cool scene, like
that.
such a cool moment to show his shadow on the ground. And it's like, oh,
Yeah.
what time is
There's
it?
a hole in him. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
awesome.
Also, Court is like Deadshot or Bullseye or take your pick of whoever. Like, he's like, he cannot miss.
Yes. So yeah, so then he's shot through the chest, but that isn't enough. So he gets another shot straight to the head that causes him to flip ass over tea kettle backwards
Yeah,
into the ground.
that if I have one complaint, I didn't like his comical flipping through the air. I was like, all right, that's a little much, but whatever. At that point in the movie, I'm like, whatever, it's fine. He's getting his comeuppance.
I mean, I liked it because it was the kind of like super death you need to commit
Sure,
to
yeah.
Gene Hackman's character, otherwise he will come back.
I mean, I
But
was kind of hoping he would explode somehow. I don't know how you would work that out, but yeah.
yeah, and this is why I think like the font choice and the poster choice is wrong because it sells a movie that does not have that. It doesn't have head explosions and it doesn't have flipping end over end. But this movie is
Right.
that, so this movie's great. And then she just tosses the badge to Court and is like, "Hey, the law's back in town." End of movie. That's it.
That's
We're
it. That's
good.
it.
We're
All you
out.
got.
Credits.
Yep. That's it. That's the fucking movie.
And it's great. It rules.
If you couldn't tell by all the glazing we've done the entire
We hated
show,
this movie.
I fucking love this fucking thing. I think we all did. Before we get into official five knuckle shuffles, let's give Goggs's review here real quick. Did he actually give us a score? He didn't, because I guess he hasn't done the show enough. He doesn't know how the show works. Goggs says that he remembers watching it a long time ago without much affinity. Sharon Stone is the worst part of the whole thing, and she's not bad, just playing it too much like Snake Plissken. That's Goggs's review. We'll say he gave it a 7. I feel like he would probably give it a 7 or an 8.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I can see that argument. Like I'd said over the text chain, like I can see the sort of Snake Plissken-iness to it.
Yeah, but Snake Plissken's just playing like a Western character, so
Yeah,
like, I
yeah.
don't know. It's one of
It's I
those
mean
things
it's
where it's
also
like,
just like the man with no name thing is sort of that, which
right.
is this person doesn't talk much and they kind of emote a little bit. And yeah, so I don't know. I think
It's
it
a
works.
yeah, it's a tropey thing. I mean, I think it works. Like, it's again, it's what they're trying. It's not unintentional. You know what I mean? Like, it is very in her performance is very intentional. So,
Like, it also kind of, I think, works a little bit better for a little girl and her dad than if it was a male character and his dad or whatever. Like, I don't know, something about that dynamic I think works really well.
yeah,
Yeah, I agree with that too.
absolutely.
All right, five knuckle shuffle time. Nate.
I'm gonna give it a 9. I think like there are things that you could kind of improve. We've talked about them, but like this is fun, and it's a movie that the first time I watched it, I liked it, but had some reservations. The second time I watched it, I was like, oh, I like this way more. And any
Yeah.
movie that does that, where it gets better the more you watch it because I notice more things, because you're clocking just the subtle bits of dialogue that kind of pass you by. Because there are a lot of like little sidelines in this that aren't main character beats, but they're things that are happening that they're all relevant.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's fun. And it's the most, maybe the most interesting modern Western that's been made, where it's taking big swings and landing them, and it's having fun doing it, and you don't feel like, I don't know, it does, nothing feels cheap.
I totally agree. Well, it's also, it's tropey, but it's doing its own thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not trying to remake a Sergio Leone movie, but, like, it's taking the right bits of those types of movies and doing something new with it. Like, it's, this is a very Sam Raimi film. Like, I don't know.
It's also, you know, 1996, we're, like, very divorced from the spaghetti western at that point, and we hadn't hit the, like, we're doing everything from the 70s shit again that would come, I don't know, a few years later. So like it is kind of like on an island stylistically, I think.
Yeah, because this is, I mean, because this is still going to be around your Wyatt Earps and Tombstones and stuff, right? But like,
yeah. Well, I mean, but those movies are like very serious. Like, you know what I mean? This is like, I mean, well, like, no, and
I think that explains why this movie didn't get critically reviewed well. Because it came out at a time where it was like, well, what are you doing? All these other Westerns are you know, grimdark Westerns that are really serious and everybody's an alcoholic and everything. Right. And this is like, no, this is fun. This is a this is a fun genre.
Yeah, I totally agree. Pass the mic.
Oh, I'll pass the mic to Sean.
It's a 10 for me. This movie is structurally perfect. Like, I don't know how every other movie that has a tournament in it cannot seem to make the tournament function properly, except for this one. And like, people die in this, so like, it's a different kind of tournament. It's simple. Like, you get what you need from the people. It doesn't overstay its welcome. You don't have to have, again, like, these elaborate backstories that go on forever and these fucking, you know, 1-2s of dialogue about shit that happened forever ago that nobody could care of. You get like the amount of lines you need from people, and the movie's like so propulsive. I think it's like an hour and 40. It's a short movie.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like major movies go, but it's exciting. And like the propulsion of the gunfighting tournament as a vehicle for the revenge, because like entering this tournament to avenge my so-and-so is like every fighting game conceit and just about like, you know, but none of them can get it right. I don't know why this does. Like, I love all the camera moves. I love all the fucking goofy Dutch angles and the push-ins and the clock. And like, you know, it has one really like disturbingly violent scene, but it's not like Kill Bill or something. It's not like you couldn't show it to other people without some kind of warning. I think this is a triumph of movies. And like, it's got like a 60% of Rotten Tomatoes, which I texted the boys analog that movie critics had no idea what movies would become much later. Or like, this doesn't feel like any other movie. You know what I mean? This is strictly its own thing. And I can't commend it enough. It's a 10 for me. I'm gonna give it to TJ.
It's a 10 for me, dog. First of all, I love Westerns, like of all, you know, I love all kinds of Westerns. I love the super old, like Glenn Ford Westerns. I love, you know, the spaghetti Westerns and then the post kind of spaghetti Westerns when Eastwood was doing his own thing. I do love the grimdark Westerns. I love, you know, Unforgiven and stuff like that. But like, this movie is just so fun and so unique. And I love everything this movie is doing. I love a movie that doesn't waste your time. Like, I kind of felt like I was like waiting for this movie to get boring. Like, I was waiting for the soggy middle. I don't know why. I feel like when I was a kid, maybe I thought it did. I don't know what I was thinking. But I was waiting for something to go wrong in this movie, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because like Sean just said, this movie isn't like fondly remembered that well. So I was like, what's wrong with this movie? And the answer is nothing. Like, I loved everything about this movie. It's full of great performances. It's full of great camera work. I think that the script, like we've said throughout the entire show, the script is like really well written, like more well written than you would think for kind of like a silly Western. I think this movie is fantastic. Like, I loved it. And I'm not the biggest like Sharon Stone fan. I thought she was great. Like, I really, really enjoyed this movie. And, you know, it's something I'd like to, I'll probably watch again here soon. I loved it. I mean, it's a 10. I think this movie, it's not my favorite Raimi, but it may be his best movie. Like, it's one of those situations where like, I like Evil Dead 2 more, but I think this is a much better film. Like, this is way better made with better performances. And it's like a much more complete film. I loved it. I thought it was incredible. So yeah, it's a 10 for me, dog. It's fantastic. Certified good ass movie. So I have a pick for next week, unless somebody else wants to jump in.
No, you're good.
Yeah, go for it.
So I was going to make Sean suffer and watch The Royal Tenenbaums, but I changed my mind and we're gonna watch the
Welcome to
19
Mooseport.
No, we're gonna watch the 1974 classic The Conversation.
Hell
So
yeah.
get some art in your ass. Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation. A movie I really love, but I haven't watched since I was like 17. So I'm interested in watching it again. Nate, feel free to join us if you'd like. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Right on.
But yeah, I really wanted to pick the Royal Tenenbaums, but I couldn't really. I love that movie, and if Sean hated it, it's kind of like when Alec hated on Turbo Kid, it would kind of kill me on the inside. So we're gonna watch The Conversation.
I did like when the butler says he has the cancer. That was funny.
Yeah.
One out of ten.
The Royal Tenenbaums is such a good movie, but Gene Hackman, like alone, has just bangers after bangers. But he's also in a lot of like. Did you know that Gene Hackman's in Wyatt Earp too? Because I didn't know that.
No.
No, I didn't know he was.
I don't know if
I've
I've
never
ever even
seen that
seen
movie.
Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the
He's in
Kevin
a lot.
Costner one.
Yeah, that's the one
Yeah.
that he left. So he was supposed to be in Tombstone, but
Tombstone.
then
Yeah.
he got in his feelings like he always does about the production of Tombstone, and he wanted to rewrite a bunch of the script, and they're like, yeah, fuck you, we're not doing that. So then he went off and he's like, well, I'll make my own Wyatt Earp movie, and he made the one
Black
that
Jack and hookers.
he made the one that like no one thinks about, and we a bunch of movie nerds, none of us have even seen it, so there you go.
All I know is
But yeah,
it's really long and it's supposed to be really
of
boring.
course it is. Kevin Costner, like,
Yeah.
he loves making
He's got to
long
show his
fucking
butt
movies.
for like at least 2 hours.
I mean, I'm fine with that. And then he's got to bang Cal Ripken's wife. So yeah. But yeah, we're gonna watch The Conversation. I kind of wanted to watch The French Connection too, because I've never seen it and I heard it's really bad, but no, we're gonna watch The Conversation.
Do you remember when Goggs' point of reference for the French Connection was some Ed O'Neill made for TV spin-off of the movies?
Really?
Yeah. You
I
mentioned it on
do.
this show.
That's crazy. I don't remember most things that happened on the show past when we unhit record. So, like, I have to be honest. Half the time I forget movies that we've done on the show. I'm like, God, we did that. But we have done like 6,000 episodes at this point. So anyway.
Nate,
All
you're
right.
basically on the show now, so just be here if
Yeah,
you want.
you're
right
just
on.
the new
Yeah,
member
I'll
of
see
the
if I can make
show.
it. Hell
Yeah,
yeah.
so watch The Conversation anyway. Have you ever seen that movie, Nate? It's
Oh
very good.
yeah, I've seen it a couple times. It's
Yeah. So.
also great Harrison Ford performance. He's only in it for
Yeah.
like 30 seconds, but
He's in
it's
it for like 2 seconds, but
baby Harrison Ford.
we'll see. I hope Alec's on because it's a neo noir. I know we haven't had a lot of luck with Alec and neo noir and regular noir, so it'll be interesting to see how
Or
that turns out.
anything.
Yeah, or anything. All right, everybody, that's the
All
show. We'll see you next week.
right.
Go
Bye-bye.
O's.
Hell yeah.
Bye-bye.
Toodles.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, thanks, Nate.
Yeah, of course. It's great to spend time with you guys.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.